1 Corinthians 9 and verse number 25. You follow as I read 1 Corinthians 9:25. It says, "And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible." All right, now this verse here, the Apostle Paul is writing, and he's telling something that is very important. And he says here that every man that strives for the mastery is temperate in all things. And the word temperate is a word that means self-controlled. It doesn't have the same idea. You know, when we think of temperance, temperance is usually the idea of limiting ourselves and not going overboard. That's not really what the idea of this word is here that we're going to be looking at in these next couple of weeks. The idea of temperance has more to do with controlling myself, keeping myself under control, guarding what I do so that I don't do things I shouldn't do. It's the idea of forcing myself to do right. And we must control our actions. We must control our attitudes. We must control our mouth, we must control our emotions, and we must be controlled in every other area. God wants us to be controlled. And it's very important that we learn from this. Now, all of us struggle with this from time to time, more often than we want to admit. And I want us to pay close attention these next 3-4 weeks as we look at this subject. I believe it can be a help to each of us. Every single one of us in this room, from youngest to the oldest, we have trouble with self-control. We need to have God's help and learn how to control ourselves that we might be able to be what God wants us to be. Now, we lack self-control in a lot of areas. We may lack self-control in our spending, maybe in our eating, maybe it's the choice of friends, or the choice of foods, or our words, our thoughts, our lusts, our desires, getting up, getting to bed on time, getting up on time, overcoming a bad habit, cravings, time use, tech use, and lots more. You know, we need self-control. We need to be able to control ourselves in these ways. An uncontrolled spirit may be harsh, may be bitter, may be cruel, angry, hateful, revengeful, rebellious, unkind, unforgiving, greedy, rash, impatient, fearful, anxious. The list goes on and on. And we struggle with these things. The young people struggle with them. I mean, you don't have to teach your kids to be uncontrolled. It comes naturally. It's part of their nature. It's part of all of our nature. And that's why we struggle with this subject of self-control all through our lives. Self-control is something we need desperately to work on. When a horse is spirited, he is hard to control. When a dog has a mean spirit, he's dangerous to be around. When a dad has an angry spirit, he will provoke his children. When a child has a rebellious spirit, he refuses to heed good advice. When a person has an uncontrolled mouth, his words cause wounds. When a motorist lacks self-control, he angrily curses any driver that makes a careless move. When a wife has a contentious spirit, she irritates like a dripping roof. When we have an unforgiving spirit, we forfeit God's forgiveness. When a man looks at pornography, he grieves the Spirit of God who sees all. The lack of self-control makes us unpleasant to be around. It makes us often hurtful to others. And most of all, makes us displeasing to God. Our verse says in the opening phrase, "And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things." The little phrase, "strive for the mastery," is one that may confuse us if we don't look at it carefully. What it literally refers to, and you can look up the words yourself, it literally refers to contending in an athletic contest. Contending in an athletic contest. He's saying here, every man that contends in an athletic contest is temperate in all things. Paul desired to win God's prize. Remember Paul said in In Philippians chapter 3 and verse 14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That ought to be the desire and passion of every true Christian, to receive God's prize. God wants to reward us. You know, that is really awesome when you think about God's salvation. He forgave us sins that we deserve judgment for. He died in our place because of His grace. He offers us eternal life. He gives us a home in heaven and a great inheritance in heaven. But on top of that, He said, I'll reward you if you'll live for me right now. It's amazing when you think about it. God wants to reward you. He's got rewards for you. And you can get those rewards. But they're not going to be just handed to you automatically. There are things that we do for Christ that we earn those rewards. And Paul said, I want to strive to win the prize. I want that. I want to get that reward that God has for me. And we ought to have that same desire to win God's prize. But to win that prize, just like an athlete, we must be temperate or self-controlled. Self-control is not a natural quality. I mentioned that a moment ago. There's no child born with self-control. They cry and scream and holler. I remember when our first one was really young, you know, when he was just a few weeks old. You feed him, change him, burp him, do all the things you're supposed to do, and then he still cries. And you pick him up and he stops crying. You set him down, he cries. What is he saying? I want attention. You know, I want attention. If you don't give it to me, I'm going to cry. They're not self-controlled. From the time they're infants. And that's part of our human nature. And so, constant self-control is supernatural. We are told to be self-controlled, but constant self-control, to be able to be constantly self-controlled like God wants us to be, we need God's help. It's supernatural. And self-control is preparatory to winning God's prize. It's part of it. You cannot win God's incorruptible crown without self-control. Let's go back to our text and read the next two verses that go hand in hand with it. Well, verse number 25 again, and every man that strives for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible crown. I therefore so run, not as uncertainty, certainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Paul said, I don't want to be a loser. I don't want to be disqualified. The word castaway has to do with being disqualified. He said, I don't want to be disqualified. I don't want to be kicked out of the race. I want to win. And that ought to be our passion and our drive and our desire. But no one can win God's incorruptible crown unless they are self-controlled. It is part of it. That's what the thrust of these verses are. Now, all that was introduction. The first sermon of this little short series here, I want to identify three reasons that self-control is preparatory for winning the Christian race. The first reason is this. All of us have obstacles. We all have obstacles that get in our way. We must know our obstacles, the things that hinder us from victory. Every athlete, when we see here, he opens up the text and he says, and every man that striveth, every man. He said, if you're going to win the race, you've got to have self-control. Every man that strives for the masteries. Every athlete wants to know what his hindrances are. What are going to slow me down? What are the things that are going to hinder me from winning the race? In those days, for 10 months, the candidates for the Grecian Games would prepare for those games. And to do so, they would abstain from every kind of sensual indulgence and to undergo the most severe training of the body. The obstacles that they would put aside were were friends and wrong foods and wrong drinks and late nights and laziness and lack of exercise and wrong focus and even pleasures. He said, anything that might distract me, anything that might slow me down, anything that might hinder me, I'm going to set it aside. I don't want that because I want to win. And you know, folks, really, that's where it all starts. We've got to have a passion in our heart where we say, I want to win God's prize. I want God to say, well done. And you know, I can guarantee you there's not a person in this room tonight that wants to stand before God and have God look down on you on Judgment Day and say, I've got a home for you in heaven because you trusted me as your Savior, but you didn't live for me. I got no rewards. We don't want to hear that. We all want to hear Him say, well done. You did a good job. I've got some crowns for you. There are five crowns mentioned in the Bible. This is one of them, the incorruptible crown. For those who are self-controlled. And God offers it to you. And He offers it to me. But we're going to have to work for it. Just like the athlete. The athlete said, I'm going to sacrifice in order to win that crown. Paul said that the crown that the athlete would win is a corruptible crown. Just a little wreath made out of leaves. And a few days, it's all wilted and the leaves fall off and it's worthless. But he said, we're going to win an incorruptible crown. A crown that will never fade away. A crown that we will be able to take off our head and lay at Jesus' feet when we see Him. And said, it's all yours. You enabled me. You gave me the ability. And so we need to work at this. The obstacles that the athlete would face were things that were holding him back. And the contest in which the Christians are engaged is no less, but more severe. We are in a battle. The world is against us. The devil's against us. The unbelievers around us are against us. And God says, I want you to be incorruptible. I want you to live a life that is temperate. I want you to be self-controlled. And it takes work. We ask ourselves, how can we test ourselves and test our self-control? How self-controlled are you? I found an article on a website that had 10 traits of those who were self-controlled. I've added a few to that. And I want to give them here to you tonight, but they're in the back of your bulletin. And I challenge you to follow along in the back of your bulletin and look at those. And what I would suggest for your benefit is that you would take, in all honesty, and tick off the ones that you know you need to work on. And ask God. Remember what we said? The athlete would say, what are my obstacles? The athlete would ask the trainer, what is it that do I need to work on the most? Is it my running ability? Is it my eating habits? What is it I need to work on that is to change, to be able to win? I want to win. And as we ask ourselves these things, it'll help us. Number one, these are positive traits, all right? You can take chastening from the Lord and appreciate discipline when you have it coming. All of these come from the book of Proverbs. You can look up the verses later. It talks about chastening from the Lord. So a person who has self-control is able to take chastening from the Lord and appreciate discipline when he has it coming. Number two, a person who is self-controlled will carefully guard what enters his heart, Proverbs 4:23. A person who is self-controlled will not yield to sensual lust, Proverbs 6:25 and 7:25. Letter four, you can receive criticism without feeling that you have to defend yourself. When someone criticizes you and says you didn't do that right, how do we respond? A self-controlled person is able to say, well, they probably have a point, and we take it. The uncontrolled person can say, no, wait a minute, you don't have the right to say that. Don't blame me. I got a reason for that, and it's partly your fault too, and we make all kinds of excuses. So, are we self-controlled? Letter E. You can make yourself do hard tasks rather than give in to the urge to take the easy path. Proverbs 10:4 and 12:24. Do we take the easy way, or do we do what's tough? Young people, this is good for us too. You know, when there's an easy road and there's a harder way, but the harder way is the better way, which way do we take? Self-controlled person will do what's right. Letter F, you are able to respond to harsh put-down with gentleness. When someone puts you down, puts you in your place, scolds you, can you handle that with gentleness or do you get upset? Because they shouldn't have talked to you like that or they shouldn't have acted like that. How do we respond? Letter G, you choose your words carefully. Or sometimes we maybe just open our mouths and let it come out, whatever comes out. We need to be disciplined, self-controlled, choose our words carefully. You are slow to anger, even in your spirit. This is a big one when it comes to self-control. I truly believe with all my heart that anger starts with our spirit. And our spirit, when someone pulls out in front of you and you go, "Arr!" That's an angry spirit. You may not have swore at them. You may not have made some obscene gesture to them, but you got irritated inside. It's a spirit of anger. And that's the thing we got to control. Because if we have a spirit of anger, it will someday or eventually or maybe often blow into something more than that. We've got to control that spirit of anger. And it's hard. It takes God's help. Letter I. You do not take offense easily. You are hard to offend. Many people are so easy to offend. You just say one word wrong to them and, oh, they can't believe he did that to me and I'm upset and I'm not going to talk to him for a week now. And easily offended. No, letter J, you guard your tongue. Letter K, you are in command of your appetite. Now, some people know what is right, but they choose to just not control their appetite. I've talked to people that said, "Well, I'm on a diet, but you know, I'll start tomorrow." Control it. Control it, even when it's hard. Self-control. Letter L, you stay calm during trying situations instead of getting upset. Letter M, you resist the urge to meddle in another person's business. Letter N, you can do good deeds without mentioning it to anyone for approval. You know, this is just a scratch on the surface. But just some things to help us to get to think. How well do we control ourselves? You know, on the surface we may say, "Well, I'm pretty self-controlled. You know, I don't blow up too often. You know, I'm pretty self-controlled." But it covers so many areas. It isn't just our anger. It isn't just our words. It isn't just our thoughts. It's every area of life. God wants us to be self-controlled people. And so we've got work to do. And you ask yourselves here, does this describe me? Do these traits that we've looked at here describe me? And if not, as I said, I strongly encourage you, tick off the ones that you know you've got to work on. Why? Because an athlete that wants to improve is welcoming suggestions to help them improve. But if you say, "Well, I'm not going to tick off any of those, even though there may be some of them, because I don't want, you know, I'm not going to admit that I got a problem." Well, go ahead. Don't admit it. But if you don't admit it, you'll never fix it. We will never fix a problem that we don't admit. That's the bottom line. I'm as guilty as anybody. If I will not admit a problem, I will never fix that problem. It'll always be there. We never will get help until we say, "I've got an issue that I've got to deal with." And so I encourage you to just tick them off, mark it, and begin to work on it. Now, we must be temperate in all things. Notice there he says again in our verse, "And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things." In all things. In every obstacle. Not just a few. Every obstacle can hold us back. It doesn't take a whole bunch of them. Even one issue can hold us back from getting that crown. What a terrible thing it would be to stand before God and God says, "Well, you were pretty good in a lot of areas, but this one area, boy, you had a hard time. You just never controlled yourself in that area. I'm sorry, I can't give you that incorruptible crown." And we don't want to hear that. And so I urge you to be honest with yourself and look at these things in an honest way and take those lists and look at through them, and the things that I've already mentioned, and download the notes off the web. They're all on there, the full set of notes, and look at these things and ask God to help you to learn how to control every area of your life. So the first reason we need this is because we all have obstacles. The second reason that we need self-control in order to win is that only self-control will overcome the obstacles. That's the only thing that's going to do it. That's the only way we can do that. Athletes that are determined to win have no other option. They say, I want to win so badly that I am willing to do anything. You know, sitting back and wishing doesn't help any. You know, the athlete says, I sure wish I could run faster. Or I sure wish that I wouldn't eat so much because I always get a bellyache and then it slows me down running. Wishing's not going to help him any, so that's not the solution. And dreaming about it's not going to be of any use. You know, laying there in bed and thinking, I think I'll dream about being a super Christian. It's never going to work. It's not going to help. It's not going to solve the problem. And the athlete doesn't do that. That's not going to help him any. Instead, he is willing to withhold the pleasures to be able to focus on what he needs to do. He's willing to restrict his diet to tone up his body muscles. He's willing to sacrifice in order to improve. He's willing to push his muscles until they are weary. He's willing to do things that do not come natural in order to win. He says, I will push myself. I will sacrifice. I will do everything I can because I want to win. And as Christians, we need to be just as determined. And you know, there's a temptation, and some of you may have already thought of this, and I hope that's not true. But there's some of us who might say, well, I'm not real fussed about winning. I don't think I want to go to the effort. I'm happy just to get in the gate. That'll be good enough. No, it won't. You will never be happy to stand there before Almighty God who gave His life for you and died on the cross for you and have Him say, you did not do anything for me. You just floated along. I don't have any crowns for you. We don't want to hear that. There's no way that you want to hear that. We all are going to want to have God say, good job, well done. That's what we want to hear. But just like the athlete, there's no athlete that ever goes into a contest that will ever hear the, well done, you won, if he didn't give it his all. It'll never happen. It takes discipline. It takes self-control. For a Christian, you know, wishing that you had victory over some sin is not the answer. It's not going to work. Dreaming that you're going to be a strong Christian is not going to help. Resolutions will fail you. Many of you have already made resolutions. You know what that's like. I'm not going to do this anymore. And then 3 weeks later, we're back doing it again. Resolutions aren't the answer. Praying that God will zap you and make you a spiritual, victorious Christian is futile. That's not the answer. And you know, for a long time, I really think that I was feeling that that was the answer. I'd say, God, why do I do this? Help me to just get over this and be a strong Christian. That's not the answer. And I hope I'll be able to show you how as we work our way through there. Why isn't that the answer? Because God does not zap us into anything. God says, it takes work, and you're going to have to discipline yourself to do it. I'll help you, but you got to do the work. God's not going to zap you with lightning and make you a spiritual Christian. It's not going to help that way. Crying over our repeated failures won't fix the problem. Oh, we should be sorry, and we should repent, and we should weep over our failures if we've done wrong. But that's not going to fix the problem. You know, you can cry all day and say, oh, I'm so sorry, I've done wrong, I've messed it up again, I blew it, I messed up my life, made a wreck of things. But that's not going to change it. That's the first step, maybe, but that's not the solution. That's just admitting there's a need. And so there's more to it than just that. Asking forgiveness after you failed to rule your spirit is the right thing to do, but that does not change the problem. You can say, I'm sorry, I failed, I did it again, I hurt you, or I said something unkind to you, and I was mean to you, or I got angry with you, or whatever the issue was. We can say we're sorry, and that is good, that's important, that is needful, but that's not the solution. That doesn't fix the problem. Because we've got to make a change. there's more to it than just recognizing the issue. Recognizing it is absolutely important, yes. But then once we recognize it, we've got to have self-control to overcome. There has to be the self-control to overcome. We need self-control. And you need self-control and you need to rule your spirit. In the book of Proverbs, Solomon speaks of the same thing and he talks about ruling our spirit. And that's the same thing as self-control and temperance. They're all the same, just different words. We need to rule our spirit. And we need the Holy Spirit's help. I can't do it. I can't do it for you. Your spouse can't do it for you. Your parents can't do it for you. You've got to have God's help. God can help you. But you've got to do the work. God's not going to zap you and make you an instant wonderful Christian. You've got to put your heart into it. You've got to give your all to it, just like the athlete. The athlete could sit back and read all these books and watch videos on how to be a great athlete. And if he just sits there, you know, chewing on his chips and drinking his soda, he's not going to get good. It's not going to work. He's got to put it into action. And so it is with us. We've got to put it into action. We've got to have God's help. And we need to identify those obstacles. And with God's help, we need to take action. Now that brings us to the third thought we're going to look at here tonight. And that is the third reason for self-control that it is preparatory for winning is that excuses all lead to failure. Excuses all lead to failure. An athlete who makes excuses will lack, and for lack of self-control will never win. He's not going to win if he's making excuses for self-control. You know, self-control must be complete. By that I mean, if he disciplines himself in many areas but lacks self-control in one vital area, he still will hurt his chances of victory. We need to be completely, and that's why he says here, every man that strives for the mastery is temperate in all things. He didn't say he's temperate in many things. He didn't say he's temperate in the big things. He said in all things. So that means every area of our life, we need to be temperate in, with our mouths. We need to be temperate with our thoughts. We need to be temperate with our eyes. We need to be temperate with our attitudes. We need to be temperate with our spirit. Every part of us, we need to be controlled. We need to take control of that and not let it control us. But then self-control also must be continuous. An athlete that trained for 10 months for these Olympic Games or these Grecian Games, if he trained very rigidly, very strictly, and he forced his body to do all kinds of harsh things to build his muscles and to train, and he restricted his food, and he got to bed on time, and he did all the right things for 9.5 months, and then 2 weeks before the event, he says, I've had enough of this. I'm going to just cheat one time. I'll make an excuse one time. He could wreck it all because it has to be continuous. And so it is with our lives as Christians. Those who make excuses are bound to fail. And we're so prone to that. I've made excuses lots of times. And you probably have as well. We make excuses. Like we may say, well, that's just the way I am. I can't change that. That's the way I am. But if it's the wrong way, it's not the way we are. It's the way we allow ourselves to be. It's not what God wants. See, we all could say that. That's just the way I am. Yeah, that's the way we all are because we're sinful. That's our nature. And God says we need to exercise ourselves, discipline ourselves, self-control over those things that are the way we are, to be able to conquer the way we are, to become what God wants us to be instead. That's what self-control is all about. So making the excuse and just saying, well, that's just the way I am, will never win God's incorruptible crown. Young people, listen carefully. You can keep yourself pure until a week before your marriage and then lose your purity and you'll lose your reward. Keep yourself all the way to the end. Guard your thoughts. Guard your actions. Keep yourself pure in every single way. We need to be careful. Fathers that exercise excuses for their anger and say, well, You just upset me. What do you expect? Make excuses. It won't work. We'll provoke our children and harm their lives and hurt them. And God says, don't. No. We've got to guard ourselves, protect ourselves, discipline ourselves. Don't let Satan win. We've got to be self-controlled. It takes work. Making excuses for an uncontrolled tongue or a bitter heart or self-gratification or slackness or road rage all leads to God's rebuke, not to God's reward. God accepts no excuses for lack of self-control. Blaming others for our lack of self-control does not excuse our failure, nor does it resolve the problem. And as long as we say, I did wrong, but we'll never win. Because the but shouldn't be in there. And we've all done it. I wouldn't have got upset except that they did this to me. They upset me. They riled me. They got me going. Or it was just it overcame me. It was such a powerful temptation. I don't know what happened. I just yielded to it. Because of our lack of self-control. Excuses don't work. Excuses always lead to failure. And no one will ever win in God's race unless they're self-controlled. And folks, it's hard. Because it isn't just self-controlled on Sunday night at church. But it's self-controlled on Monday night. It's self-controlled when we're at work. It's being self-controlled when we're with the kids. It's being self-controlled when no one else is around. It's just you. It's self-controlled all the time. And it doesn't really matter whether other people are around or it's just you and God. We need to be self-controlled. Guard our lives so that God is pleased, Satan is defeated, and we live victorious. Self-control. It's hard. It's hard work. Just like that athlete. That's why Paul said, every man that strives for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. Paul said it is difficult. It's hard. And he goes on, and I'll mention this in the weeks to come, but he says, I fight not as one that beateth the air, but I keep unto my body, but I'm bringing it into subjection. The idea there, it says, I beat my body black and blue to be able to discipline myself, to force myself to do what is right. It's not easy. And it's difficult for every one of us. From the youngest boy here to the oldest of us, it is difficult. It is a challenge. And it's not going to go away. I used to think life will get easier when I get married. No, it just adds more responsibilities. I thought, well, it'll be easier when I get old. No, it doesn't get any easier. It's always a challenge. Life is always a challenge. Why? Because the devil's always on our back. And the devil's always trying to get us to do the wrong thing. Self-discipline, self-control is absolutely vital every day of our life for the rest of our lives on this earth. And it takes work. And so I challenge you tonight to look for the obstacles in your life. You know better than anyone in the whole world what your obstacles are. And if you look in the mirror and you say, I just don't see any obstacles, well then ask your spouse. I'm sure they could point out several. Or ask your parents. They would know lots of them. But we have obstacles. We have things that are hindering us. Things that we need to work on. And make a list of them and start praying over them and say, God, these are things that are hindering me from winning the incorruptible crown. And I want to win. And I've got to get victory over these. I want self-control in these areas. Self-control is preparatory to winning God's crowns. Lord willing, in the next 3 weeks, we're going to examine three more aspects of this. We're going to look at the fact that self-control is supernatural. We're going to look at the fact that self-control is demanding. And finally, self-control is rewarding. And we're going to examine those areas. And hopefully we can be able to unlock some things that will help us to learn how we can have self-control every day of our lives. I need that. And you need that. We need self-control. We need to be able to have victory in our lives. And so I challenge you tonight. Look for those obstacles. Begin praying. And you pray for me as I develop these messages that God would help us to be able to discover this God's secret to having self-control in our life day by day. That it might help us and strengthen us and prepare us for the day that we stand before God. That we might be able to stand there before Him and bow our knee to Him and hear Him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. I've got an incorruptible crown for you because you controlled yourself."